Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone. Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Richard. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Christy Snyder, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Here you may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site or by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007240 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. You may also instant message the co-moderator, Valerie Thomas, by clicking on va.thomas@us.ibm.com in the e-meeting attendee list, and she will assist you. Today's presenter is Janu Huang. Janu is a software engineer who is a member of the WebSphere Application Server Technical Support Team based in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. He joined IBM in 1995 and worked with IBM Global Learning Services, IBM Consulting Services and Development until he joined WebSphere Application Server Technical Support. Mr. Huang is an IBM Certified Solution Developer as well as a Sun Certified Programmer for the Java 2 platform. He's the architect and developer of IBM Heap Analyzer and IBM Pattern Modeling and Analysis Tool for Java Garbage Collector. He's also the author of the book C Programming for Novices. Today's topic is how to analyze verbose trace with pattern modeling and analysis tool for IBM Java Garbage Collector. It will include a PowerPoint presentation followed by a question and answer session. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. If you are in the e-meeting, you'll see the presentation. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Janu. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. My name is Janu Huang, the presenter of today's topic, how to analyze verbosity trace with IBM pattern modeling and analysis tool for IBM Java Garbage Collector. I'd like to call it a PMAT for short. I am the architect and developer of IBM PMAT. I started design of PMAT about 2 years ago. It was introduced to the public about a year ago through IBM AlphaWorks. Verbosity trace is one of the traces that IBM SDK provides to diagnose Java Heap related issues. For example, out of memory error, Java Heap fragmentation, and garbage collection performance degradation. Before this tool was introduced, I had to use commercial spreadsheet applications to analyze verbose GC trace data and create different sets of charts to diagnose problems. With PMAT, we can easily diagnose a variety of Java Heap-related issues. Verbosity trace provides dynamic aspect of Java Heap. For example, amount of Java Heap size requested by application, time spent in garbage collection, and elapsed time between garbage collection over a period of time. Whereas Java Heap Dump provides static aspect of Java Heap or snapshot of Java Heap at a specific time. So there are two different set of documents we can collect from the failing system. The format of verbosity trace is not a part of SDK specification. So each SDK vendor provides unique format of verbosity traces. As of today, PMAT supports only IBM verbosity trace format, but it will support other vendors' verbosity traces in near future. Then let's talk about what we are going to cover today. Page 2, please. This is the agenda we are talking about today. We will talk about PMAT, its features, prerequisites, and views that PMAT provides, I will show you sample verbosity traces and help you understand details of verbosity trace. A little, we will study typical cases of Java Heap-related issues and diagnose those with PMS. Then we will have a question and answer session. That's all we will cover today. Page 3, please. So now on, we are page 3 now. What is PMAT on page 3? Okay, PMAT parses different versions of IBM SDK, verbosity traces, and provides statistics, charts, and analysis. It even recommends some of Java Heap-related configuration based on analysis of traces. If there is any Java Heap-related errors, it will display possible causes of the errors, as well as which set of charts and tables. The usage pattern model will provide recommended settings for Java Heap-related configuration for a given JVM runtime cycle. For example, recommended maximum Java Heap size or the size of the class block cluster. Page 4, please. On page 4, we have features. A PMAT can diagnose Java Heap-related issues. For example, Java Heap exhaustion or Java Heap fragmentation. It can recommend optimal Java Heap configurations based on usage pattern model. PMAT has tons of charts and tables so that it allows you to take a look at a problem from different points of view. Page 5, please. Page 5, how does it work? Part 1 of 2. It looks like the screen is not painting very well, so you can take a look at soft copy if that's available. So we are on page 5. How does it work? A PMAT parses IBM SDK verbose garbage collector trace or verbose CC trace. Then it retrieves trace information. For example, Java Heap usage, timestamp, like a date and time of garbage collection, and marked face time, and sweep face time, contact face time, and available Java Heap size, freed Java Heap size, and time spent in garbage collection, and the total Java Heap size. And we will study details of this information on page 8 and 9. After PMAT completes parsing, it calculates overhead ratio of each garbage collection cycle and runs a garbage collector diagnostics engine to report any problems recorded in the trace and provides a root cause analysis of the problems. It could be a Java Heap fragmentation, or it could be Java Heap exhaustion, or it could be caused by too large Java object recast. The garbage collector diagnostic engine utilizes the pattern of historic data and provides diagnostic information. Page 6, please. On page 6, we will talk about how does it work continuously. Then PMAT runs a pattern modeling engine, which utilizes historic Java Heap usage and provides optimal Java Heap configuration recommendations. For example, it can recommend optimal Java maximum heap size and the size of class blocks cluster or K-cluster. We will revisit K-cluster in for more details on page 62. The pattern modeling engine uses historic activity of data of the Java Heap usage to predict future performance trends, so avoiding potential memory leaks or memory consumption instabilities. A PMAT also provides graphical representation of a Java heap usage history and the detailed elapsed time for each phase of garbage collection cycle. Page 7, please. On page 7, what is verbose CC trace? Verbose CC trace is a command line option that you can supply to the JVM at JVM startup time. You cannot dynamically enable or disable this trace on running JVM trace process. You have to restart JVM to enable or disable this trace. The format is dash verbose colon GC or dash verbose GC in one word on IBM SDKs. It could be a little bit different on other vendors' SDK, but most of SDKs support this type of format. And this option turns on substantial amount of trace of every garbage collection cycle. The format of verbose CC trace is not architected, so it varies from platform to platform, or vendor to vendor, and release to release. This trace allows you to see the growth heap usage in every garbage collection cycle. For example, you could monitor the output to see the changes in the free heap space, the total heap space, or time spent in garbage collection, and frequency of garbage collection, and any sign of a JVM process termination during the garbage collection cycle. Page 8, please. I will show you two kinds of verbose CC trace. One is from Sovereign JVM. The other is from J9 JVM. And most of IBM SDK 141 or 142 and 131 run on Sovereign JVM. And this verbose trace output is an example of an allocation failure collection on Sovereign JVM. On next page, we will talk about J9 JVM's trace. So on this Sovereign JVM's trace, an allocation failure does not mean that an error has occurred in the code. Its name that is given to the event that triggers when it is not possible to allocate enough memory from the Java heap. The lines that start with AF1, we have a couple lines starting with AF1. They are the allocation failure lines and indicate that this was the first allocation failure collection in this JVM. The first line shows how many bytes were required by the allocation that had a failure and how long it has been since the last allocation failure. So AF1 means allocation failure sequence number 1. And need 1444 bytes, that means the requested size is 1.5 kilobytes. And next, 0 ms since last AF indicates it's been 0 milliseconds since the previous allocation failure. In subsequent allocation failures, it's usually non-zero, but this one has zero because this is the first allocation failure. The second line shows what action the garbage collection is taking to solve the allocation failure and how much free space was available in the main part of the heap or small large object area, and how much is available in the large object area or wilderness. The large object area was introduced to improve the allocation of large objects. The large object area boundary is calculated when a heap is initialized, and it we calculate it after every garbage collection. The initial size of a large object area is 5% of the current heap size. It can then be readjusted later on. If garbage collector fails to allocate space, it releases large object area. For example, if the size of request is equal to or greater than 64 kilobytes, garbage collector will release large object area. Next line, action equals 1 indicates that this action performs a garbage collection without using the large object area. And some of you might have noticed that the requested size here is only 1.5 kilobytes, which is smaller than the 64 kilobytes. That's why JVM didn't want to release this large object area for this request. And it is designed to avoid compactions by keeping the large object area available for a large allocation request only. The figures in the parentheses show the actual number of bytes that are free and that the total bytes that are available in the Java heap. So 0/3983128 indicates 0 byte is free out of total 3.9 megabytes in small object area. The next one, 209640/209640, same value, indicates that 209 kilobytes are free out of a total 209 kilobytes in large object area. The next line starts with GC1. We have a couple lines starting with GC1. That's indicating this was the first garbage collection in this JVM. The first line of GC1 shows the date and time of the start of the collection. The second line of GC shows that 1.4 megabytes were freed in 9 milliseconds, so resulting in about 38% free space in the Java heap. The third line of GC1 shows the times for the mark, sweep, and compaction phases. Let's talk about mark, sweep, and compaction. There is an analogy between the Java garbage collection and actual real-world warehouse management. Imagine you are in a warehouse and filled with tons of merchandise on pallets, and forklift trucks are unloading new merchandise from trucks. The sizes of pallets are different, and you cannot stack a pallet on top of another in this special warehouse called Java Heap. The warehouse building is a Java heap, and the merchandise on pallets are Java objects allocated in the Java heap. Now it's time for taking inventory. Then you need to scan each and every pallet and make a list of inventory. That's the mark phase of garbage collection. Then you make the list of merchandise to be scrapped and move them out of the warehouse or sweep them out of the warehouse. That's the sweep phase of garbage collection. Then you need to get on the forklift truck and move pallets against the wall to make more rooms in the center for bigger and more pallets. That's the compact phase of the garbage collection. So compaction is one of the most expensive operations in garbage collection, and we don't want to do that in every garbage collection. So in this example, we didn't need to compaction. The last line of GC1 shows a reference object that were found during this garbage collection and the threshold for removing some of the references. Page 9, please. Some IBM SDK provides a new JVM called J9 JVM. J9 utilizes XML to present verbose CC trace. So as you can see on the presentation, the J9 has XML format. One of the differences in J9 is that there are nursery area and the tenured area in J9 JVM. The nursery area is used by a new object or younger objects. If objects are not garbage collected for a long time, they will move into tenured area. So if objects are getting older and older, they will be forced to move into the tenured area. So in this example, GC space type equals global indicates that a garbage collection was triggered as a result of system CC call. The ID attribute shows the index of what type of allocation failure that has occurred. ID equals 5 indicates this is 5th global garbage collection. And the total ID equals 5 indicates this is the 5th garbage collection of this JVM runtime. And interval MS shows the number of milliseconds elapsed since the previous allocation failure of the specific time. So interval MS equals 18.880 indicates this has been 18 milliseconds since the last garbage collection. And expansion indicates that during the handling of allocation, a heap expansion was triggered. And the area expanded, amount by which the area was increased, its new size, and time taken to expand, and the reason for the expansion are displayed. The next one, expansion type equals tenured, indicates there was expansion in tenured area. And amount equals 1048576 indicates a tenured area was increased by about 1 megabyte. And next, new size equals 3145728 indicates its new size is about 3.1 megabytes. And next one, time taken equals 0.011 means it took 0.01 milliseconds for the expansion of tenured area. Next one, reference underscore cleared. This provides information regarding to the number of Java reference objects that were cleared during the collection. In this example, no references were cleared. And next one, finalization, provides information detailing the number of objects containing finalizers that were enqueued for JVM finalization during the collection. And next, we can see tenured, free bytes, total bytes, percent, and SOA free bytes, total bytes, percent, as well as LOA. So this is occupancy levels of the different heap areas before the garbage collection. So SOA is a small object area, and LOA is large object area. Page 10, please. On page 10, we will talk about prerequisites. And let's check what we need to run PMAT on any platform that supports Java runtime environment. We need a Java 2 runtime environment or SDK 1.4.1 or higher. And we need trace, right? We need verbose CC trace generated by IBM, JRE, or SDK 1.3.1 or 1.4.1 or 1.4.2. Page 11, please. Let's discuss definitions that is used in tables or charts. In subsequent pages, as well as views of a PMAT, you will see lots of verbose CC data in the table form or chart form. The since indicates time elapsed since the last allocation failure. So all time is in millisecond unit. And freed indicates a size of space that was freed during garbage collection. And needed or requested indicates size of space that was requested during allocation failure. Free indicates size of space that was free after garbage collection. Total indicates size of Java heap after garbage collection. And completed indicates time spent during allocation failure. Page 12, please. And GC completed or GC indicates time spent during garbage collection. And the mark indicates time spent in mark phase. And overhead indicates ratio time spent in allocation failure versus time spent between allocation failures. And SWIFT indicates time spent in SWIFT phase, and compact is time spent in compact phase, and exhausted is a Boolean type that indicates whether there was insufficient space to satisfy allocation failure. Page 13, please. On page 13, we have a lot of lists of view, GC analysis view, and GC table view, AF summary, GC uses summary, GC duration summary, GC graph view, GC trend view, zoom in, zoom out, selection, center from the graph view. And I will show you some of them with the actual screenshots. Page 14, please. On page 14, we will talk about how to run PMAT. In order to run PMAT, you just need a Java runtime environment 1.4.1 or higher, because it's just a Java application. The Java space dash jar and file name of the jar file should work in most cases, but you might want to specify dash XMX and maximum heap size if you are handling a large verbose CC trace. In this example on the chart, 1,000 megabytes is assigned for the maximum Java heap size. And the file name of PMAT is ga10.jar. Please be aware that maximum Java heap size should not be larger than the size of available physical memory. Page 15, please. On page 15, you can see the initial screen of the PMAT. You can see the menu bars and the console, which displays error messages and detailed information. Page 16, please. On page 16, let's open a verbose CC trace by clicking on File menu and then Open. Page 17, please. On page 17, you can see the window that shows which file you want to open. So you can select a specific verbose CC trace file from this menu and then click on Open button. Page 18, please. On page 18, you can see some progress bars on the screen. When verbose CC trace is parsed, the progress bars are shown like this. And it looks like we have processed about 33% of verbose CC trace. And the unit progress is about 77% done. Page 19, please. On page 19, we will talk about analysis view. And this analysis view is provided as soon as processing is completed. It looks like we have 51 cases of Java heap exhaustion in this verbose CC trace. So we can see the file name of actual verbose CC trace. And next, number of verbose CC cycles, 55, and number of garbage collections, 64,000, and also number of allocation failures, about 64,000. And the first garbage collection happened on November 16th, and the last one completed on February 7th, and there were 51 Java heap exhaustion. And the maximum allocation failure overhead was 100% on December 13th. And there was 124 cases of 100% overhead in this verbosis trace. And the next line, maximum size of large object request was about 12 megabytes on December 15th. And number of large object requests, 75. And the list of Java failures, we have at least can see two large object requests in this screen. Let's find out details of each line in the next chart. Page 20, please. The file name indicates location and file name of verbosis trace. And number of verbosis cycles indicates number of JVM restart. And number of garbage collections indicates TC frequency. And first garbage collection, that's the timestamp of first garbage collection. The last garbage collection, that's timestamp of last garbage collection. And number of Java heap exhaustion indicates number of out-of-memory error. And maximum AF overhead indicates ratio of time spent in allocation failure and time between allocation failures. And number of 100% overhead indicates number of allocation failure overhead 100%. And the maximum size of large object request indicates the largest object request and the timestamp. The number of large object requests indicates number of objects request is larger than 900 kilobytes. And the list of Java heap failure indicates timestamp, request is Java heap size, and type of failure, and available Java heap size. Page 21, please. On this screen of page 21, we can see second part of analysis view. That is analysis and recommendations report for each JVM runtime cycle. Page 22, please. At the first column of the analysis report has timestamp of JVM start and stop. The second column has type of Java heap issues. If there is any problem with the Java heap, no Java heap exhaustion found. String is displayed if there is no Java heap exhaustion. Page 23, please. The last column has recommendations, as you can see on the page 23. If there is no Java heap issue, then the optimal maximal heap size is provided by the usage analysis. If there is any possibility that Java heap usage might increase based on the pattern model, a PMAT provides a ratio based on Java heap occupancy model. The ratio 100 indicates Java heap usage could go up to twice as much as last usage in the trace. The ratio of 0% indicates Java heap usage could stay the same as last usage. Page 24, please. So if the ratio is close to zero, the Java heap usage is considered to be stable condition. If the ratio is non-zero, Java heap usage could increase over time. And this information was generated by Java heap occupancy model based on the current data. So if you put only 1 hour of data instead of weeks of data, then it's not likely that you will get realistic model. So the accuracy of the model really depends on the quality of data you provide. Page 25, please. Let's click on analysis and GC view to review the table view of verbosis trace. Page 26, please. So on page 26, you can see a GC view screen. You can see the verbosity data in table view. You can click on any column to sort data by ascending or descending order. Also, you can move around columns to compare data or columns you are interested in by dragging and dropping the columns. Page 27, please. And I clicked on the column 3 to sort the data by 3 size. So as you can see, the column 3 is sorted. So first one is about 182 megabytes, and it's decreasing, and it's down to 181 in the bottom of the chart. So if I click the column 3 again, then data will be resorted by ascending order. Page 28, please. Let's click on Analysis and Graph View to display chart from the data. Page 29, please. On page 29, you can see the chart view. You can see the graphs, x-axis, y-axis, as well as buttons. This is chart view with free after is enabled. Free after indicates the size of free space after garbage collection. And x-axis represents time, and y-axis represents bytes on your left-hand side, and the milliseconds on your right-hand side. The vertical dotted gray line on your left-hand side indicates termination of a JVM. So JVM ended at that time. And the blue dot in lower left corner indicates the start of JVM. So JVM started at this point. So the JVM terminated about 11:21, and we started right after that. And the vertical dotted red line on the right-hand side indicates out-of-memory error. Looks like we had out-of-memory error around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Page 30, please. On page 30, we have some definitions for the buttons. The chart buttons are similar to the table headers we have seen in the GC view. So since is time spent since the last allocation failure. Free space, recasted, the space recasted, and free indicates size of space that was free after garbage collection, and total indicates size of heap after garbage collection, and completed is a time spent during allocation failure. Page 31, please. And chart buttons continue. And GC completed indicates time spent during garbage collection. Overhead indicates ratio, the time spent in allocation failure versus time spent, time between allocation failures. And zoom in button zooms in x-axis, and zoom out button zooms out x-axis. And center button moves a point to a center, and select button brings up a GC view of a point. Page 32, please. I clicked on used after button and the total after button on page 32. So you can see three different lines of the data. Page 33, please. This is another view of chart view on page 33. Now, compact and sweep buttons are clicked. The chart looks like very busy. So you can zoom in if you are interested in any time period. If you want to take a look at table view of specific time, you can click on select button and click on any timestamp on the chart. Page 34, please. Now you can see table view of a specific timestamp on page 34 of graph view. Now we are on page 35, usage summary. And we will click on analysis and usage summary to take a look at the usage summary view. Page 36, please. On page 36, we have usage summary. You can see the table. In the usage summary view, you can see the usage statistics of each JVM runtime. It looks like there are more than 23 JVM restarts in this verbosity trace. For example, you can see average, free, and total size, a minimum, free, and total size, a maximum, free, and total size for each JVM startup and termination. Page 37, please. Let's click on analysis and the duration summary to review the duration summary. Page 38, please. So on page 38, we have another table view, but this is duration summary. The duration summary provides duration statistics of each and overall JVM restart. For example, average mark time, minimum mark time, maximum mark time, and average sweep time, and so on. Page 39, please. Let's click on analysis menu and then click on AF summary to review AF summary view. Page 40, please. On page 40, we have AF summary. This is another table view. So AF summary view provides allocation failure statistics for each JVM restart. For example, average requested size, minimum requested size, maximum requested size. And page 41, please. And you can reach option menu by clicking on view menu and then click on option. Page 42, please. On page 42, you can see options. You can change default directory and mark terminal and non-terminal points of chart. You can enable verbose mode to display a detailed message in console, or you can choose to save this configuration for next time. Page 43, please. And you can also change the color of each attribute of chart. So you click on any attribute. On page 43, we have free tenure is selected. And if you click on change, you can see the next page, page 44, please. So you select colors from the color table, as you can see on the page 44. Page 45, please. And you can also clear the contents of console by clicking on Clear Console menu on page 45. Page 46, please. Okay, let's talk about some case studies. We'll have three case studies. First one, we processed verbosity trace and we got this information from PMAT. As you can see the screen, page 46, There were 154 cases of Java heap exhaustion in this case. On the bottom of the analysis, it indicates about 0.002% Java heap was available. So, the Java heap was completely exhausted. So, let's scroll down a little bit and take a look at the report section on page 47. Page 47, please. On page 47, there was complete Java heap exhaustion on November 29th. The recommendation is to increase maximum Java heap size using -XMX JVM option. If that does not work, review the Java heap dump with IBM Heap Analyzer or any heap dump analysis tool. Sounds reasonable. If you are not still convinced with this report, we can take a look at chart. Page 48, please. So let's click on Analysis and Graph View. Page 49, please. So on page 49, we can see the chart. Vertical dotted red line indicates out-of-memory errors. As I mentioned on page 28, we can see at least 6 of out-of-memory errors. Looks like the third one has multiple out-of-memory errors. I clicked on Used After button. The Java heap usage spiked around 40 minutes after midnight and stayed at 800 megabytes. Let me zoom into 44 minutes after midnight to have a better look at the first out-of-memory error. Page 50, please. On page 50, we have another view of the chart. Now you can see the Java heap usage spiked around 43 minutes after midnight and stayed at 800 megabytes. Around 44 minutes after midnight, we got out-of-memory error. Do we have any free Java heap at this time? Let me click on Free After button. Page 51, please. On page 51, we can see another view of chart. What happened at 44 minutes after midnight? Free space went down almost to zero from 100 megabytes. The Java heap usage spiked and could not go up. We don't have enough free space. If you are not sure what's going on yet, let me click on Total After button. Page 52, please. On page 52, green line indicates a total heap size after garbage collection. Total heap expanded several times at 43 minutes after midnight and could not expand anymore at 44 minutes after midnight. In this case, a maximum heap size was set to 800 megabytes, and Java heap expanded and Java heap usage grew up to almost 800 megabytes, and there is almost no free space left. Java heap was used up. We could try larger Java heap if you believe the application could use more than 800 megabytes. If you don't believe this application should be using 800 megabytes, you need to review the Java heap dump to figure out what objects are consuming most of Java heap. Page 53, please. Now you can also click on Select button to take a look at table view of out-of-memory error. Let's take a look at case study 2. Page 54, please. On page 54, we have case study 2. Analysis says two large object requests. There was 187 megabytes free space, but 61 megabytes of contiguous space was not available. This is a fragmentation issue, but sometimes it's important to know which code needs that much memory. Page 55, please. On page 55, usage memory went up from 700 to 200, then 222. Let's take a look at total memory space on page 56. Page 56, please. And total memory is much larger than user space. and let's take a look at the free space. Page 57, please. There was enough free space at the time of out-of-memory error on page 57. And let's take a look at request memory size. Page 58, please. On page 58, a requested memory size spiked up to 61 megabytes at the time of out-of-memory error. We could tune JVM configuration to have better chance of satisfying this 61 megabyte, but we need to take a look at application if the tuning does not work. Page 59, please. We will talk about case study 3 on page 59. And analysis shows that recommendation size of K cluster is about 26,000. Page 60, please. On page 60, used memory size dropped at the time of out-of-memory error. Let's take a look at request size to see if there is any large object request. Page 61, please. On page 61, you can see chart. There is no large object request at the time of out-of-memory error, and there was enough free space. This is a typical case of fragmentation. We could spend hours and hours in tuning JVM to avoid fragmentation, but let me show you one of possible tunings for fragmentation issues. Page 62, please. Classes are stored in Java heap, but they cannot be moved during the compaction due to the architecture of Sovereign JVM. On J9 JVM, classes are not stored in Java heap anymore. We can think of classes as a decorative columns of warehouse. These columns do not support structure. We cannot move columns with forklift truck, and we could waste some spaces due to the columns if we have too many columns. So how do we solve this problem? Let's put all these columns on a pallet and move them against the wall. This pallet is called K-cluster. A K-cluster is an area of storage that is used exclusively for class blocks. By default, it is large enough to hold about 1,200 entries, but you can increase the number of entries. And each class block is 256 bytes long. Page 63, please. In order to get recommended K-cluster size, we need to enable additional trace by setting -XTGC2 on JRE131 or -dibm.dg.trc.print=st_verify on IBM SDK or JRE142 or 141. Page 64, please. So some of you must be wondering how you can set these settings on WebSphere application server JVM. You could update server.xml directly if you are familiar with the structures of WebSphere application server configuration XML files. But the easiest way is using administrative console. So on version 5, we can click on these menus and open generic JVM arguments. And on version 6, we can click on these menus and open generic JVM arguments. And it's a little bit different on version 4. So please remember to stop and restart application server to reflect new changes in JVM, regardless of WebSphere application server versions. Page 65, please. If you want to learn more about IBM Developer Kit and the Runtime Environment Java 2 Technology Edition, please refer to Diagnostic Guide for IBM Developer Kit and the Runtime Environment Java 2 Technology Edition. There are diagnostics guides for version 142, 131, 141, and 50. There are also diagnostics guides for ZOS 64 and AMD 64 platforms. There are also links to IBM garbage collection and storage allocation techniques. which was published in April 2005. There are links to PMAT, IBM Heap Analyzer, and the webcast of IBM Heap Analyzer, which was conducted on 22nd September 2005. It provides very useful information regarding how to diagnose a variety of Java heap leak problems with IBM Heap Analyzer. Page 66, please. On page 666, you can see additional WebSphere product resources. You can discover the latest trends in WebSphere technology. And you can learn about other upcoming webcasts, conferences, and events. And you can join the global WebSphere user group community. And you can access key product show me demos and tutorials. And you can learn about electric service request tool. And you can also sign up to receive weekly technical support details. This concludes today's presentation of how to analyze verbose GC trace with IBM pattern modeling and analysis tool for IBM Java Garbage Collector. Thank you very much for your time. We will have a question and answer session followed by a short poll. I'd like to turn the call over to Christy.
Thank you, Janu, for a great presentation. All right, so right now we would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the e-meeting. Your participation is greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale from 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Please enter 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. And I'm just going to pause for a few moments to allow everyone time to answer the question. The second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Please answer 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Question three is, did this call meet your training expectations? Please answer one for yes and two for no. Question three. Did this call meet your... Please provide us with comments to help improve future webcasts. And this is question four. Once again, please provide us with comments to help improve future webcasts. And the fifth and final question, is there a topic you would like to see scheduled? We welcome any ideas that you may have. And this concludes polling. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Richard, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenter.
And if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. Star 1 to ask a question. We would remind you that you make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 to ask a question today. We'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. Angela, our first question comes from Angela Carroll.
Yes. Could you just go over again when we would see the format for the verbose GC that you called J9 JVM? As opposed to when we would see the solvent JVM format? That's what I'm used to seeing.
Christy, could you please change page to page 9, I guess?
I just wasn't clear when we would see that format. Is it with version 6 of WebSphere as opposed to version 5?
So your question is about this format of a verbosity trace on page 9.
Correct.
Yes. This is a verbosity trace taken from J9 JVM. And some of what IBM SDK 142 delivers J9.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's exactly what I think.
Our next question comes from Anand Ayagari.
Hi, yeah. I was just wondering about the overhead of this particular tool, memory and CPU utilization-wise.
Yeah, the question is about the overhead of this tool?
That's right.
Thank you. There's no significant memory requirement for this tool because it just parses text data and displays in the table or chart. So unlike any other Java heap analysis tool, this needs minimum Java heap requirement.
Okay. Could you come out with any specific numbers if you don't mind on that, please? Thanks.
Yeah, so I usually use the default XMX settings, and I couldn't see any problem.
Yeah, what I meant was, does it occupy half a meg or a meg of memory? Just as an indicator, that's what I was looking at.
Yeah, the question is a recommended maximum heap size to run this tool.
Right.
I usually recommend without any XMX settings, yes. There could be a default of about 10 meg or 20 meg, depends on platforms.
Okay.
So if you ever see any out of memory from this tool, you can always put XMX, about 200 meg or 300 meg, until you don't see it out of memory. But I used about 100 meg of XMX. I couldn't see any problem yet.
Okay, thanks. That's, I presume, any standard platforms like Solaris and AIX platforms?
The question is supporting platforms for this tool?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, this tool is absolutely a Java standalone application, so it can run on any platform that supports JRE 141 or higher.
Oh.
But the issue is this tool only understands IBM verbosity trace as of today.
Good.
So you can run this tool on any platform, but the trace should come from IBM verbosity trace. But in future, I will support Solaris or HP or any other platform generated verbosity trace.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Jing Zhang with...
Yes, this is Jing. I have two questions. Actually, you just mentioned that this tool can only work on AIX.
The question was whether this tool works...
I mean, it only works with verbose GC output from AIX platform? Is that what you just said?
No, it can work any IBM SDK. So it
okay, so it's just specific to IBM JDK.
Yeah, only IBM SDK on AIX, Windows, and Linux systems.
Okay. My question is, on one slide, you can identify a 61 meg large object. Is there a way you can tell the object name, like the class?
The question was that there was some object request, and we need to know the name of object. So in the verbosity trace, provided as of today, does not provide any object name information. It has only size information. So with just the IBM verbosity trace, we can only acquire the size of object, but we don't know the address of the object or the name of the object.
And this tool doesn't help memory leak either, right?
This tool will alert you if there is any leak, because leak usually shows steady increase in Java heap usage.
Okay. Can you report the number of the object in the heap? Like typically when there's a memory leak, you will see the same type of object holding large chunk of the heap, right?
Yeah.
Is there a way you can tell that?
Unfortunately, verbosity trace does not have that information. If you want to investigate Java heap leak, then we need to take a look at Java heap dump instead of verbosity trace. And the Java heap dump has information about address of the specific object, name of the object, and the reference of the object, and the size of the object. So if you are suspecting any Java heap leak, then you need to take a look at Java heap dump.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And once again, it is star one to ask questions today. Star one. And our next question comes from Anuj Tiagi.
Hi. Yeah. I had one question which Jane already went through. I was trying to see if we can get to the object, you know, if the size is too big, but it seems like we cannot. What, in your opinion, is the alarming threshold for the object size? I mean, I know it's a very generic question, but do you have any recommendations that if we see object greater than this size, we should look at that and maybe try to break it down?
Right. The question is about the large object detected in the verbosity trace, and
yeah,
how do we cope with this large object?
Right.
In the current JVM, in the sovereign JVM, the large object request is a kind of problem, but it is addressed by J9 platform. So it's a very common issue on sovereign JVM.
So J9, and this J9 JVM can run with what level of WebSphere? I mean, can it run with 5 or it needs 6?
Right now, J9 JVM is supported on AMD Linux 64-bit system.
Okay.
So there are some IBM platforms that support J9 JVM on production system.
Okay, so it's not available for the AIX platform in that
case. As far as I know, no. There's no J9 JVM supported on WebSphere product yet.
Any tentative date schedule?
We are planning to make them available in the future, but I don't have an exact date or information about the future plan. But we will deploy J9 platform in future IBM SDKs.
And when it comes to JVM maximum heap size, what do you recommend? I mean, do you recommend to have more JVMs with smaller heap size or less JVM with bigger heap size?
The question is about maximum heap size for a specific platform?
Yeah. I mean, let's say I need total 3 gigabytes in my heap. Is it that I create 3 JVMs with 1 gigabyte heap, or I create 2 JVMs with 1.5 gigabyte heap? Which one you think is a better practice?
It depends on your application's requirement of the Java heap usage. If your application requires 1 gigabyte, then you could probably set 1 gigabyte plus about 10% or 30% of margin. So like 1 gigabyte and 300 megabyte for this JVM. Mm-hmm. So if we see any low utilization of Java heap in your actual application, then you could lower the maximum heap size like 900 or 800 megabytes. So it's solely a tuning issue to find out optimum maximum Java heap size for your environment.
Yeah, but let's say that I have control on the load distribution. I can control the user traffic across various JVMs, right? So it basically then, the only question I have is, I need 3 gigabyte heap. I know that I have so many hundred, you know, users or whatever. Then do I create 3 JVMs and everyone with 1 gigabyte and have 33% load on each JVM, or I create 2 JVMs with 1.5 gigabyte and have 50% load on these 2 JVMs?
As long as there is no out-of-memory error or performance degradations on each of the JVM, then it should be fine.
Okay. So basically, the maximum heap size is just determined by the application, and there's no characteristics associated with
right.
garbage collector or anything.
That's right. Maximum heap size solely depends on your workload and the behavior of your application, depending on the workload. So, like you said, 1 gigabyte for this specific JVM, but from 3 weeks or 4 weeks of data, you see only 50% of utilization of Java heap, then you might want to lower the maximum heap size about 800 megabytes.
Okay. How about minimum? Is it recommended to set minimum to a level or minimum should be default, I mean?
As far as I know, the default maximum heap size for the WebSphere application server is 256 megabytes.
Right.
So that's enough heap for any WebSphere application server. That does not include any additional client applications.
I see. Now, but let's say I have a need for 1 gigabyte maximum heap, right? Now, do you recommend to set a minimum heap of somewhere around like half of it, or I mean, where should we start with the minimum heap?
Okay, the question is about the minimum heap size. That's XMS option.
Right.
And in most IBM SDK platforms, XMS should be very small.
Okay.
So I personally recommend not to put any value in XMS. So it should be taking default. Which is very small.
I think 64 or something. Yeah,
yeah, very small. If you set XMS very big, some people set the minimum heap size the same as maximum heap size.
Yeah.
On sovereign JVM.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
case.
That can probably make a lot of problems, especially fragmentation could be caused by these settings.
Yeah, because we actually have suffered a lot through this fragmentation problem, and we worked with IBM in the past, so we got mixed recommendations, and that's what I was trying to sort out. Thanks, I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Melissa Fielding.
Hi. I was just wondering, in your experience, what is the typical overhead of enabling the verbose GC?
The question is overhead of verbose GC trays?
Yeah.
Okay, what the verbose GC trace does is printing out a couple of lines of information whenever there was any garbage collections.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been asking a lot of clients runs production systems, and there was not much impact on the overhead by enabling this trace. So
okay. Thanks.
And once again, it is star one to ask a question today. And we'll go for a follow-up with Anand Iyagari.
Hi. I was just listening to, gentleman Anand's question on number of JVMs recommended, but his requirement was 3 gigabyte, and then his question was 3 or 1 gigabyte each. Because I was under the impression that I presume he is using a WebSphere network deployment where you can have horizontal and vertical scaling, right? So my thinking is that depending on the memory size of the machines that he has, he could go ahead with vertical and horizontal scaling as it whatever it permits. So am I right in presuming that instead of having one node or two nodes each with 1.4 gigabyte of two JVMs, you could either horizontally or vertically scale and load balance it? What do you think on that option?
Yes, I agree with your idea.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
And failovers.
Yes.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was thinking on those lines. Well, we have done in the past where we had both horizontal and vertical scaling done. I mean, as you know, it both have the benefits, and horizontal scaling basically does the failover, so it has the better option.
Right.
And they're also doing load balancing by way of having multiple JVMs, which is not a big heap of one JVM, but spreading it across by scaling it accordingly.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's trade-off, right?
Yes, that's right. So I just thought, okay, as an observation, I thought, okay, I wanted to also hear from you about that. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you for your comment.
Yeah, sure thing.
And at this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn it back to Ms. Snyder for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Richard. At this time, we would like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of the presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thanks again to Janu for presenting today. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference call. Once again, we thank you for your participation, and you may disconnect at this time.